We had just a great time in Harvard of Grace this morning, and just want to share a few moments on that. Pastor Wright's done an amazing job, and his wife. I mean, it's really something. But I thank God I have a call. I love this church. This church is the church, you know. And I've been thinking with events that took place. I have a photograph of a man who is riding a bicycle. I left it in my Bible. He rides a bicycle with three large bags of charcoal. And he rides 88 kilometers to go to Bible school on a bicycle. 88 kilometers. And I could only think as I looked at that picture, his name is Pastor Bosco, and he's in our church in Uganda. I could only think that this man has had a glimpse of that which is eternal. You know, I think when we look at events that take place, whatever happens around the world, in our own country, and we don't have the eternal perspective, it's very easy to be responsive in a way that is a temporal response. When Mary heard the angel Gabriel come in and say to her that you're going to have a son of God and whatnot, she was very troubled and she lived in fear, because the angel said, fear not. And it says she was troubled at this salutation in her mind. Something was cast in her mind, it says in Luke chapter 1. And it means that the reason, what she was reasoning, was really becoming very difficult for her to understand. And it caused a problem in her mind. So she was troubled in her emotions. She had fear in her soul. And she had a problem in her mind. And I love it how the angel said, hail, which is actually the word grace. And he called her greatly graced. It's only used two times in the Bible. And one is in Ephesians 1:6, greatly graced. And then he says, you have found favor with God. So as she understood as a receiver of God's eternal grace, then she said, be it unto me according to your word. Now she was receiving God's eternal word. And then it says, blessed is she who has believed, though shall be a performance of what was said. She had eternal faith. She had eternal grace, an eternal word, and eternal faith. And what that produced was, that which is born of you will be called Son of God. And if I look at everything in life, even the holidays, it's so easy for me to find myself thinking temporally, with a temporal mindset. And yet God wants to bring me above. I was reading from Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, through the end of the chapter, Moses' last words. And this is what he said. He said, the eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He's going to carry me. He's going to protect me. He's going to shield me. He's going to be my victory. He's going to use a sword against my enemies. And then he said, who is a God like you, and who is a people like Israel? And I thought to myself, that's the God that just told him he's not going to the promised land, and these are the people that caused him 40 years of trouble. But he didn't look at the situation that took place with God saying, you're not going to the promised land. Neither did he look at Israel in a temporal way. He saw that which is eternal. And when we view the eternal, there can be situations that can happen. I was thinking this afternoon, eternal life can never be affected by a test, a trial, circumstances, sin, weakness, the world, the devil, the old sin nature. Eternal life can never be affected by anything. It's amazing. And we have eternal life. And so when we think about these times that we have, as we approach Christmas and New Year's, it is for Christians to have an eternal perspective, an eternal viewpoint. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And how important that is, so that I can ride a bicycle 88 kilometers. And by the way, the charcoal he's got on the bicycle is what pays for his food for 3 days while he's in Bible school. Can you imagine that? That's what's eternal. And so I love it that we have a church that has an eternal viewpoint. That we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And all things are for your sake. And so as I look at things that take place, and you know, I was thinking about, we lived in a country where 1 million people were massacred, Uganda. We ventured into Sudan where 2 million people died. I was in Rwanda after the genocide and there was 1 million people killed in Rwanda. And you know what? What am I going to say to these things? All I can say is I have an eternal God and He is my refuge and He is my strength. And underneath are the everlasting arms for Him to carry me through situations in life. So losing a job, I'm going to look at it from an eternal viewpoint. Situation, how about my marriage? My marriage has got to be, especially someone's married to me. She has to have an eternal viewpoint. Especially when I've had this hip thing. Linda, where's my sock? Linda, where's this? Where's the water? Linda, where's the hot dog? Linda, where's the clock? Linda. And it's like all day long, it's Linda, Linda, Linda. And she just smiles and just responds with an eternal response. Isn't that awesome? Even when I don't initiate in an eternal way, she responds with an eternal response. And it's awesome. Don't let things that happen in time and the temporal affect your mind, affect your emotions, have you begin to dispute what's actually going on. But say, I've got an eternal viewpoint. That God is in eternity, Isaiah 57:15. He's eternal in John 10:27-30. And I fellowship with an eternal word, eternal grace, eternal faith. The body is what? Eternal. It just didn't happen when we came here. The body's eternal. Eternal. And that is awesome. So I want to just continue to look at this life and decisions that we make and look at them and make decisions based upon eternal grace, an eternal word, producing eternal faith with eternal decisions that will bear eternal fruit. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Amen. Father, thank you tonight. And we do pray, God, that people would begin to look to the eternal. So many people in this world that are lost, and they just view Christmas as something temporal, seasonal, something to celebrate, something natural, something maybe even religious, but they don't look with an eternal viewpoint. They don't see the eternal, and that's because they do not have eternal life. So we pray for many salvations, God, that churches would reach out across the street and around the world to bring a message. The gospel is a message of eternal life, eternal joy, eternal peace. Father, we pray today that you'd save souls. We pray for this city, God. We have an eternal throne. It's called the throne of grace, where we can get grace to help in time of need. We pray for eternal life, eternal power to heal. The eternal. That we would realize that we have eternal life. Nothing can ever change that. No man can pluck you out of my hand. I've given unto you eternal life. Nobody can pluck you out of my Father's hand, and nobody can pluck you out of my hand. Wow. I'm in the hand of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit lives in me. We've got an eternal redemption, an eternal inheritance, an eternal purpose in 2 Timothy 1:9. Thank you. That people can look at us and they can just look at us in the natural. Well, that's their problem. We have an eternal view. We thank you today. Thank you for Greater Grace World Outreach. Churches around the world during this time, God, add to the churches. Add to churches everywhere, God. Born again churches, add to churches souls and disciples. We thank you. Bless our night tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
It was awesome. Thank you, Lord. every word he said, didn't it like resonate in your heart? We need a Russian interpreter. Не понимаю по-русски. That means I don't understand Russian. Anybody, would you like to go to the back and interpret in Russian? Please feel free. Every word, Pastor, the prayer, it stirs us. Wow. I'm just so encouraged. We have music tonight after my portion, which is... So the music is three... There's... I don't know, three songs or so. Then I'd like to ask, if you're here visiting from abroad, let's start from Europe. If you're from Europe, you've been living in Europe, and you just came to be with us, would you stand up, please? Okay, just stay standing so I can introduce you. Stay standing, yeah. Okay, Pastor Eric and B... Bee's and Eric's daughter is a teacher here at GGCA, and he's a pastor from upstate New York and lives and pastors in Budapest, Hungary. He's an amazing guy. Pastor Matt LaFlame from the famous LaFlame family from Finland is with us. Pastor Barry and Veronica and Kendall Quirk from Budapest. And then Pastor Barry, behind you. Davide, okay, Davide. And Miss Salonen, okay, from Finland. And then Pasha and Ruthie. You may... And then Karina from Paris. Then Bea from Vienna. Here's Bea. Good to have you. And then if you're here visiting and you're from North America, would you stand up? Del, would you be able to do that? Look at, I missed him. Look at him. Oh, boy. Anybody else? The night. Okay, I'm sorry. Pastor Rick and Jen over here from Budapest. Beautiful. You're visiting from the moon. Would you stand up? Okay, we have from Nurgul and Ajan, Shuja from Hungary, Kyrgyzstan. Nurgul, good to have you. Okay, wow. All right, would you turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 2 briefly? We have the cookies in the family center, and make a last minute request. I don't think we organized this, but if in the youth center we could have a wrap tonight. So we have the cookies and in the family center. Is it possible to get in there and turn on the sound equipment and everything? Is that okay? All right, so that's on. So I'd like to ask Pastor Matt LaFlame if you got the time tonight to do the wrap in this youth center, okay? And we'll add people to your group, okay? You're the point man. You're the big shot. You're God's servant. Beautiful. Okay, so there'll be a wrap tonight because this won't be enough for us, I think. We need more of the word when we're done. I love what Pastor said. It was so good. Eternal viewpoint. Dr. Chung mentioned at lunch today in an incident, and I will not talk about it, but just he said as he had to give counsel to somebody at the hospital, divine viewpoint. When we think of what happened in Connecticut, we say divine viewpoint. When we think about Christmas, and here are some tips, there's one truth I want to share about how to have a great Christmas. How do you have a great Christmas? That's a question. How do you have a great Christmas? You want to know the answer? The same way these guys did. Right? And I want to read it with you. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, let's look at the map here before we go there. Do we have the map? What's this? iPad up on the screen. Do you see it? Okay. You think it's coffee break time? Just give them some time. Come on, what do you think? We're number one? Come on. Okay, ready? Here it goes. Wham! Is it there? Okay. Let's go back to the scripture. All right, the old-fashioned way. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. We have the map up now. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. What would it take for a king to leave his kingdom, get the camels ready, leave his right-hand man in charge, which he doesn't totally trust, leave maybe his family, pack up the camels, get the caravan moving, and move following a star? Quite a story. Remember all those high school plays? Anybody here was one of the wise men with the bathrobe on and all that? How about it? The turban, the towel, anybody? I was one of those ones. I was the one that didn't want to go. Oh, prophetic. Here it is. Who among us, this is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who among us will celebrate Christmas right? Those who finally lay down all their power, honor, and prestige, all their vanity, pride, and self-will. And at the manger, those who stand by the lowly, and let God alone be exalted. Those who see in the child, in the manger, the glory of God, precisely in this lowliness. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I love this because when we see Christ, God becomes a man. In that humility and in that weakness, we worship. It's really nothing to worship a powerful man. We honor him, a powerful man, a man of prestige, power, great influence. But when we see a babe, we see a child, an infant, harmless, powerless, vulnerable, and we believe that he is God. Remember, Mary, did you know that you were touching the face of God? What an amazing song, an amazing thought. And when these kings from the east, we have that map yet? No? Okay. They came from Uzbekistan, maybe Azerbaijan, maybe way out in Afghanistan, maybe in Saudi Arabia, maybe Qatar, Kuwait, maybe Dubai, any of those areas in the Middle East, they came and they followed a star. And nobody in the world of science can really explain. Copernicus tried, and he had some theories. There's all been studies regarding the stars through history. But nothing that I have read has been very convincing to me, because the star had to be low in order to guide and lead them. The star brought them to Jerusalem. It was still vague. They still did not know. And when they came to Jerusalem, in the general area, they were lacking the definition. But what were they moving on? But the Holy Spirit was leading the kings to worship Christ. The Holy Spirit moved in them. Why did they go? Humility? Maybe the scripture? Maybe they were part Jewish from the diaspora, the captivities and the spreading of the Jews in the Middle East? Maybe they had the scriptures and they studied stars, obviously. And they had wealth and power and influence, but they came and they were led, curious, moved, convinced, persuaded, influenced, led. They were, how many, we don't know, but the gifts were 3, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They brought the gifts because they were expecting to meet somebody important. That's how I have a great Christmas. I put away the foolishness that is in the world, and I leave it there, not at the cross, but at the manger, where really the cross is. Where in the manger was also the cross, where Christ carried it his whole life. He was God manifest in the flesh. The Spirit moved these men. They met Herod, verse 3. Herod heard the same, but he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Verse 4, 5, they prophesy, or they quote the prophet, that Bethlehem is where the Messiah, the king, will be born. Herod said, when you find him, come and tell me. Verse 7. Verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem, said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star. This is the part, verse 9. They left the king, the evil man. They left him. Probably when you meet an evil man, you spend an hour with him. Or some hours, a part of a day, you just don't have a good witness in your heart. And when those kings left him, they probably, you know, like there wasn't clarity, there wasn't simplicity, there wasn't the Spirit bearing witness to them. But lo, the star. It seems like when they left the city, now the star comes. It comes again. Like they came to Jerusalem wondering, asking questions, but now when they leave the evil man, now lo, the star. And the star leads them 6 miles south of Jerusalem to the city, town of Bethlehem. An interesting historical part about that town, and it is this. Okay, there it is. Here's Israel. We don't know where the kings came from. This from the east. Where did they come from? Far east. Where did they come from? We do not know. How many months? How much money? How much of a risk? What's it cost you? What are you willing to pay? What's important to you? What kind of Christmas is it for us? Is it on the surface? Or is it a Christmas of great meaning to us? Because there we bow with all of our richness and knowledge, 21st century men and women, all of our prosperity, we bow and we are fixed on the mystery. And that's what we love about our faith, is that God became a man. They in the world, yeah, God became a man. Yeah, some other fairy tale, tell me about it. And we say, we understand you. It is crazy. It is incredible. Mary, did you know that little baby boy would one time calm the waters with that little hand, rolled up little pudgy little soft flesh, flexible digits? That human being, very real human being, would one day calm the waters. Mary, did you know? We can say to these kings, what did you guys know? What did you know when you packed up? You said goodbye to your family, moved on, or brought your family with you. How many were in the caravan? How much of a risk did it cost? What did you know when you went? And they would undoubtedly say, I know it was crazy, but somehow that's how we think about life. That life has to be a little bit crazy because it already is a little bit crazy. People die. That's crazy. But I would expect God to meet us in the craziness with this amazing mystery revealed to us. And say, yes, I will anoint you to go into all the world with the gospel. And this book has life-transforming power. Yes, there are kings still that are coming to kneel down before this king and give to him in his weakness they are drawn. Let's see, Joni Erickson Tada said this, we never knew how hungry we were for God until Jesus arrived. He was delivered unto the stable straw. We caught the fragrance of the presence of God. We inhaled the aroma of God is with us. And we became acutely aware of a hunger deep inside. We hardly had words for it, but it is a longing for God. That's what makes our Christmas great. This longing. Whatever it costs, there could not be anything that would ever cost me. Not a thing compared to what I gain. There's nothing that I could lose at that stable that would be of any value to me, that would be greater than the value that I gain by being at the stable. For when I am at the stable and I hear the poor people, the shepherds say, and angels appeared to us. They said, go to Bethlehem. And here we are. And the kings say, we came from far away. We traveled 9 months to be here. A half a year, maybe a year. We traveled from far away from a tribe you've never heard of before. And our language, we don't even speak your language. But we have followed a star, for God has a testimony in this world of this great marvel of this person. And it says here, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You know why? They go, we're done with Herod, or we're, you know, whatever he is, I don't know. We know king, we know those kind of people. We see the star with exceeding great joy. And they follow the star, it says. How does it go? Verse 11. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down, worshipped him. When they had opened the treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream, they did not go back. Another part. It's verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed. Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. In my opinion, and I don't know that much about it, but I've read it, studied it, thought about it, That was the Shekinah glory of God. That star was a specific guiding reference for them, and it stood over where the child was. And one thing about the little town of Bethlehem, when they had the Passover, the sheep, they bought sheep there that were meant to be slaughtered. There was a holding pen for sheep. And when the worshipers would come for the Passover, they would go down to Bethlehem and buy a little lamb. And they would come up to Jerusalem and offer it as the sacrifice. Isn't it appropriate that our Messiah, the Lamb that takes so the sins of the world, would be born in Bethlehem in that town? That's it. Our Christmas is this one. We love the family, love the plays, love the celebration, love the fun we have, love the family times, love the eating, the drinking, the gifts, exchanges. Children love it. But hey, what about us adults? I'm not going to get my Legos or my Tonka toys or whatever, Tonka trucks or Barbie dolls or whatever. I don't know what they buy. But what about us adults? It's our Christmas is this one. The eternal dwells amongst us. The eternal is in you. This is our Christmas. We are amazed that God would do this. We never stop being refreshed by the meditation of it and the worship of it. And when we kneel down as kings, if you may be a king, you kneel down and give him all your exalted self, all of your accomplishments, all of your life. You kneel down and say, all of it is nothing but dust compared to this great gift that God so loved us that he gave us his son to take away our sin, put our name in his book, and give us eternal life. And if you're at the other end economically, a shepherd, you do the same. And a Mary, who in her own mind, in a way, I think she had to suffer in a sense, being misunderstood, never being able to explain herself. Maybe many, many times not believed by her relatives. Many times in her own family, maybe. Maybe Mary to the neighbors and the people in the area, they never would believe it. They would not believe it that she was a virgin. They would not believe it. I am sure of it. But that's okay. She carried that thing in her own heart, putting her eyes on the eternal. And she knew, pondered it in her heart, knew she had a unique man, knew that the Messiah promised, Isaiah 9:6, 2 Samuel chapter 7. She knew Isaiah 53. Maybe she understood in a way nobody else could understand, even her husband. I'm sure she believed, but I'm sure he had times where he would wonder, just like we all do. But we have the help, the guidance, the Holy Spirit guidance that brought us to this place, 6025 Moravia Park Drive. And brought us to other places like it around the world. Bring in your people, God. We are not ashamed of what we have believed. We are not. We are so upheld. We are so encouraged, like the kings when they went away. They say, this was the highlight of my whole life. When the kings went away and they could go back home and they could say, a mystery was revealed to me. You would never believe it. But God became a man, the King of Kings, the King of the Jews, the one that fulfilled the prophecies. I held him in my hands. I know who he is. I know who his mother is. I know who his father is. I know where he was born. I know the prophets. I know what it is. I carry it in my life, in my heart, to the grave with great joy and celebration that does not go away. But say, I know that I know. I sense it in my life. I know that I know. And it was nothing for me to keep my life and my stuff. But it was a joy to me to worship and know him. and see Him. Would you pray with me, please? Hinge of history is on the door of the Bethlehem stable. The whole world moves around this person. This ministry of God's grace and work worldwide through the centuries by His Son is highly exalted in our hearts. We are so thankful, Father, that we are part of it. Bless our evening, the words of these songs that we will hear tonight, the rap after the cookies and fellowship and the rap after with the deep things. If anyone here is not a believer in Christ, you must come as you are. Please come. Jesus loves you. Jesus will speak to you. Jesus will help you. Jesus will comfort you. Jesus saves you. Jesus will forgive you. Jesus will uphold you. Jesus will call you by name. Jesus will lead you to pray. Jesus will be your best friend. Jesus will help and guide you in your life. There's nobody that'll do it. Nobody cares for you like Christ does and God's people. Would you say, Jesus, I believe in your heart? Jesus, I believe. Then raise your hand here tonight. If you're saying that prayer, the ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone? There's a hand over here. Thank you. Anybody else? It's three today. Thank you, Lord. We answer our prayers, Father. Bring in people, God. Bring in people. That's happening. You're working deeply in the hearts of people. God, thank you. In Jesus' name, for your Spirit moving. And in the next weeks, we'll have prayer for the sick and we'll have our walk of faith and we'll have prayers in homes. We do it now, but prayers and quietness and love and worship. Bless God as you move in these weeks and months. Help us in every area. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.